This is the third lecture, HBA series, made on November the 9th, 1955. And the subject of this lecture is level 3 of 6 levels of processing, issue 5. Your material on this is the result of a quarter of a century of development on this particular step. And one of the basic riddles of the mind is solved in this step. And that is the riddle called re-stimulation. Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health was written on this subject and gave methods of overcoming this phenomena of re-stimulation. The entire subject of engrams, whole track, pictures in general, ridges, electronic flows, as covered in Scientology 880, and all that other phenomena that we would characterize as subjective phenomena is embraced in this step. A very curious thing that there was a basic phenomenon which brought about the thing known as exteriorization. The entire subject of pictures is a fascinating one. I recommend you to the book, Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, to Science of Survival, and for the subject of pictures themselves, to A History of Man, an E-meter history, electropsychometric auditing, and to other materials, and particularly Scientology 880, which covers ridges and electronic phenomena. In order to get a complete grasp of exactly what pictures are and what they can do. But the basic phenomena is contained in this. A picture is taken by a body or a thetan by resisting some part of the environment. And just as though the body or the thetan had put up a bit of plaster of Paris against the object, so then did he receive an impression of it. Instead of plaster of Paris, he used something fully as earthly, which was electrical energy, and created a standing ridge. When these ridges are very, very thin, they are known as facsimiles. That is to say, they're a facsimile of the real universe. There is a mock-up. That is something created by the thetan or his machinery or the body and its machinery. And it is fictitious, that is to say, it is a created thing. He has made it. And then there is a facsimile, and the facsimile is a copy, as its name implies. And the facsimile itself is taken just as though the individual had pushed plaster of Paris up against the object and had taken it away, and then thereafter had an impression of it. And he can now see the picture of what he resisted. He had to resist it somewhat, and with energy. He had to have an impulse to not is it in order to get an impression of it. Now, similarly, he restrained something from going away with him with what is known as a tensor beam. He, in other words, threw a loop around the other side of it and kept it from going away, just as though he threw some taffy, a loop of taffy, over the object or over the scene, and as it tried to leave, it made the impression. And he similarly has to have a picture. Now, when we have presser, that's tensor and presser. Presser is something you press against a wall to hold it up, and tensor is you keep it from falling outward from you. And we press against something, we are likely to get the picture reverse N2, as far as the thetan is concerned, you see. So those things which he resists are ordinarily merely black-backed or some such thing. It's quite surprising you asked included case, so-called, to why don't you turn that piece of blackness around, and he'll find a picture on the other side of it. He's usually quite surprised. Now, when he, however, keeps something from going away, he, of course, when it is gone, is able to look directly and immediately at the picture of it. So it tells you at once the type of picture which the thetan has in restimulation is either one which restrained a departure, or restrained his departure, or prevented a meetingness. You see, of terminals. There's two kinds of pictures. Now, he can look at the one where he is restraining the departure. He has difficulty at times looking at the one where he is restraining a collapsing of terminals. Here is intention. The thetan really never intends at any time to let go of anything. His idea of communication is a totality. His mechanism of looking at the past is to take some sort of a picture of the past and then look at the picture. He has several mechanisms by which he does this. The tensor-pressor mechanism is only one of these. Another mechanism by which he does this is to have something you might call duplicator gel. It's sort of like jello, you know, white gelatin. And he has this fixed up so it has an obsession to duplicate everything, and pictures will appear in it without the expenditure of any further energy on his part. And he merely has this there, and it looks at the environment, and it has an obsession to take a picture of the environment. In other words, duplicate the environment. It does this, and it's quite amazing. You have some of these rounds sometimes around the body, and the oddity is there are never enough pictures in them. The thing might be totally black, you understand. It might be totally used up. Your preclear might be saying that this is awful and these pains are terrible, but at the same time, it is a lack of abundance of that pain which causes him to hold on to it so tenaciously. You have him make appear in this duplicator gel several more painful images, and all of a sudden he has enough of them, and he says, well, I can stop feeling that one for the moment. I don't have to be anxious about that. I have enough of these, and all of a sudden it will depart. The visible pictures, then, and the pictures which give him the most trouble, are the restraining pictures. He restrains something from leaving. That means that he experienced a loss. Now, when an individual has experienced a loss, he very often then tries to keep very hard hold of the picture he made of the thing before he lost it, you see. He has a very hard time doing this, and he pulls up a picture of it, but the picture is wrong end too. When it walks away and leaves him, then he says, I still have a picture of it when it was approaching me. I will make it approach me by putting up this picture, which was a picture of it approaching me, and the back of this picture, of course, is black. So loss results in blackness. That is the way it looks to a thetan. The actuality is, loss results in a thetan pulling up to him a picture of the thing when it was approaching. And the back of this picture is all that he sees, because you see, if you push plaster of Paris up against a wall which was falling in towards you, you would get an impression of the plaster of Paris, which was readable to you only if you went outside yourself and looked at the other side of it. The side you're looking at, you see, is backed, and it's usually backed in blackness. This is only a few of these interesting phenomena. The entire subject of engrams, facsimiles, secondaries, locks, all of these things simply have to do with how many pictures does the thetan have. Well, after he has collected enough of these pictures, he believes fully and entirely that he needs a great many more. And just for variety, he thinks he should have quite a few more. And whether he uses duplicator gel or a mechanism which mocks up past scenery for him, or whether or not he takes them by tensor and pressor mechanisms, he still believes that he should have a few more pictures. In the first place, he hates to break communication. The test of this is an entirely unworkable process. Any process which tends to do this is entirely unworkable. I repeat, it is entirely unworkable. It is hardly even an experimental process, because you would be something less than kind if you were to use it on a preclear. And that process, or any part of the process, is give me a time when you had no ARC for anything, or something you could go out of ARC with. Such a process as that appears to be runnable. At once you say, well, it's easy, you give me a time when you went out of ARC with somebody. That's obviously a workable, runnable process. There's nothing to that, except that it practically kills the preclear. That's all that's wrong with it. Yet there is no advantage in running it. It doesn't teach anybody a thing. It doesn't do anything for anybody. There is no such thing as compulsive ARC or anything like this. It's just this fact that the individual is asked to break communication with something, and when he starts doing this, he becomes very unhappy. A scarcity of communication can exist, but an abundance of communication cannot exist in sufficient quantity. That is what you basically have to know about all types of processing and what you have to know about pictures. Too many pictures, according to the Thetan, is an impossibility. Too few is the common run of luck. So when you start taking pictures away from a Thetan, you have to give them back to him. Otherwise, he becomes unhappy. If you were to run such a process as hellos and okays to pictures, I better say another word there about this ARC process. Unlooking. Have an individual look at something and unlook from it is also unrunnable. You see, that's just one of these times when you, something you wouldn't mind going out of ARC with process. Do you understand that? So that if you unlook, you ask him to consciously unlook. You're asking him to unfix his attention. His attention is fixed because he hasn't got enough attention on it, always. Always. If you learn this, you are a fine auditor. And if you don't learn this, it's for the birds. This is the one thing you must know. It's taken a quarter of a century to wrest this fact out of existence. And it's an important one. If an individual tells you that he has seen so many dreadful sights that he no longer cares to look at them, you can immediately assume that he has not seen enough dreadful sights. Do you understand? More dreadful sights is the remedy, not the erasure of the existing pictures of dreadful sights. Do you understand that? If an individual has a facsimile and re-stimulation, it is precious. It's something he is keeping to him. It's something he wants. He's keeping it to him because he doesn't have enough of them. But this peculiar thing occurs. Blank, non-significant pictures, non-significant contacts, and so on, are the result of a belief or a consideration that the Thetan does not have sufficient contacts. We see that. The tighter he is in contact with something, the closer he snaps terminals with something, the more we have present this thing. I do not have enough terminals. You see that? If he's snapping terminals, he's saying, I do not have enough terminals. If he is not talking, it's because he does not have enough talk. If he refuses to talk, it is because talk has become too precious to him. You see that? You have to try this out on your mandolin or your bricolage in order to get this appreciated properly. You say at once, well, there can be too much pain. I know that I myself have experienced too much pain. Oh, have you? You have. You mean your body has experienced too much pain, or you have? The reason why a Thetan holds pain in against his body is because it's precious and because he doesn't have enough of it. The whole society is in league to prevent pain. Pain is just another sensation. In this day and this age only, it has become terrifically precious. So that everybody's running around trying to take pain away from everybody. You see that? If you do not believe this, I ask you to run the process so that you yourself can see this. And even then, if you don't see it, you don't see it. And that's up to you. Waste pain in brackets, an old process, part of SOP 8, step 4. Waste pain in brackets. And if you waste pain in brackets, you then have the Thetan feeling like he doesn't have enough of it. And feeling like it might not be a bad thing to have. Feeling like it might be slightly delicious, you know, a little aperitif, you know. A little horrible ache in the shoulder, you know, be good. How about a nice stomachache? Oh, I think we could make it a little worse. We could make it a little worse if it were a little more precious. But if an individual can have all the pain he wants, he has no pain. The way to make a clear of pain is to make it so that he can have enough pain. He doesn't have to consider pain so precious, you understand? An individual who cannot speak simply considers speech too precious. There's no other rationale. an individual who believes that thought is not to be thunk simply finds it too precious to use. An individual who believes that there are too many horrors in the world for him to experience has already gone beyond the point of having enough horror. I would like you to look at this clearly, because in this wise, man is comprehensible. There cannot be enough communication. There can be a scarcity, but there cannot be too great an abundance of communication. You say, well, my body certainly would not like to communicate with a harrow. Doesn't seem to me to be a healthy thing to do. No, it's not a healthy thing to do, but what are you doing having a scarcity of bodies? What are you doing only running one body around? Do you see this? Now, if we look on it on the rationale that the individual has seen too much and experienced too much, and therefore he is in bad shape. No. Wrong rationale. It means he's had insufficient communication with these things. He just got his appetite whetted up real good, and then the war was over. And it is the letdown and the stop of having communication rather than the fact that it existed, which makes this factual. However, there is such a thing as a thetan becoming so anxious about communication, the communication becoming so precious to him, that he himself is in continual obsessive contact with a great many things. And when he gets into sufficiently obsessive contact with a great many things, he then is considered to be packed in or trapped. Now, what is the exact mechanism of this? What is the exact mechanism of being trapped? The answer to it is in Axiom 51, first axiom. 53 starts to come under tolerances. But Axiom 51 tells you that postulates and communication as is or change mest. But mest does not change mest. That's in essence what that axiom says. It says postulates and communication can change mest. It can as is it. It can make it disappear. A postulate can make mest disappear. And just the fact of thinking something can make mest disappear. If we were in the middle of a bit of this electronic gel or some such thing, as a thetan, we were in the middle of this, and we thought a thought, we would make a hole in it. And if we rammed around inside of it from one point to another and thought a thought here and thought a thought there, we'd have something that looked very like Swiss cheese, with this slight exception. Swiss cheese doesn't close in and fill up its own holes, and that's what electronic gel does. Now, if we were to create a vacuum in the middle of this room, we would find the air of the room would rush into the vacuum. Absence of pressure in the vacuum would bring about a filling of the vacuum by presence of pressure outside the vacuum. And we would get the vacuum filling up, wouldn't we? Similarly, we can create an electronic vacuum by thinking a thought in the middle of a block of energy, and the block of energy will then move in upon it. We make a postulate, or we communicate from the middle of a block of energy, and we create a vacuum, and the energy can move in upon it. If an individual is simply communicating, and he doesn't know what he's communicating with, if he's simply feeling something, and he doesn't know what he's feeling, if he is feeling and in contact with the body obsessively because he doesn't feel there's enough else to communicate with, our remedy for this individual is to put him into sufficient communication with other things so that he will understand there are other things with which he can communicate. Above everything is consideration. All things are basically postulates and considerations. Even time itself is a process of knowingness and not knowingness. Considerations. One makes a consideration, and so it is. He unmakes a consideration, and so it isn't. But every time he thinks a thought, he punches holes in mest. If you were to think a big enough thought, this whole universe would go, whoosh. You get the idea, the theoretical absurdity, you see. But this is true, very true, and observably true, on a lesser scale. All things are basically a consideration. Energy itself stems from a consideration. And simply contacting thought is sufficient to make energy disappear. Now, we think, and we're accustomed to thinking, that if some fellow is thinking dog, we would have to get the thought thinking dog to make the energy mass connected with it disappear. That's not true. This fellow is thinking dog, or the thought dog, or the body dog is there, and we think cat at it hard enough, or cow, or man. Any thought, and it will tend to disappear. Do you understand? It is the thought, the thinkingness, which makes it disappear, not the exact thought. Do you understand this? This is quite important. Can we see a preclear as somebody in the belief that there is nothing anywhere around with which to communicate? He knows he's out of communication. Time marches on. Time goes tockety-tockety-tockety-tock. And what have we got? We've got the last instant communication system disappearing and the present instant's communication system appearing, and that instant disappearing and the next one appearing, and the past going back into the past. The individual is continually going out of communication, isn't he, with his own past. He substitutes for this past pictures. He does all sorts of things to try to stay in communication. But time is going tickety-tick, and it's saying out of communication, out of communication. He looks at it this way anyway. The actuality is he could look at it by consideration quite in the reverse. He could simply say, every instant produces a new set of communication values. Am I not a lucky boy? Instead of saying every instant erases an old set of values, what an unlucky chap I am. You see, he could do this very easily. All right. If consideration is at the top of everything, then we could say, well, there is such a thing as consideration then, and then there's energy in the physical universe. No. Energy in the physical universe are also the product of consideration. We consider it is there, so it is there. You look at this from this viewpoint, and you discover a great many things. Things are rather unreal to you when you first start to look this over, but if you look it over, you will find out that making up one's mind or changing one's mind is the total goal of processing. As one is able to make up one's mind and change one's mind, one is able to create or uncreate situations or mess at will. And thus we are able to cope with the universe because we are the creators of it. It is therefore very easy to understand why thinking a thought in the middle of a block of energy would as is whole in that block of energy. It is the result of considerations. It operates according to certain considerations. And so if it is the result of thought, then thinking a thought in the middle of it will cause it to behave in some fashion or another. If we want a mass of energy to cave in upon our preclear, all we would ask him to do would be to get in the middle of it and think a thought. And you see what would happen. It would make a sort of a vacuum in the middle of the energy mass, and it would tend to move in on him. This is not antipathetic to him, since he feels, look how much more energy I'm in communication with. A little trick is being played upon him there. He's actually in communication with less energy, much less energy. Why? Because the tighter he's in communication with the mass of energy he is in, the less he's in communication with the environment outside that mass of energy. And he comes at length to believe that there's only this mass of energy to communicate with. And so we have the fellow who goes figure, 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 chew, 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 chew. Every time he thinks a thought, something happens. Something happens. Something phenomenal occurs every time he thinks a thought. He can think a certain thought, he thinks, and other various things occur. Very, very astonishing. He thinks a thought positive, he thinks a thought negative, he does this, he does that, but just thinks a thought, you see. And he produces facsimiles, and facsimiles come in and move up and chew up, and he's in communication with various patterns inside the bank. That's odd, isn't it? The actuality is he is simply as-ising, we will say, a piece of energy. We can look at it. This is a theory, of course, but it happens to be a terrifically workable theory. It's one of these theories that works, not one out of some clumsy science like physics. Physics goes on the basic assumption that there is such a thing as a conservation of energy. If we remove that consideration, the whole science of physics goes splat. Now, nuclear physics comes along and it says, we can destroy or create energy. And they're still dependent upon basic physics for most of their laws and wonder why they're in chaos. They have departed from their basic data. Very cute, isn't it? All right, on the whole business of energy, there is this central set of considerations which do bring about a certain circumstance with regard to energy. And the only thing that makes energy change, as is, disappear, or really alter permanently is thought itself. And the individual in the middle of a mass of energy will then cause the energy to behave in peculiar ways. Now, let us think of this thing called a harmonic. The individual thinks, an individual does this, by the way, he thinks of a picture of a cat, he thinks of a cat, rather, and he gets a picture of a cat. Why does he get a picture of a cat? Now, that's all, it's the puzzle there, but we can assign this to harmonic. We say, well, he once thought of this picture of cat, and therefore all he has to do is think of this picture of cat again, and he gets a harmonic wavelength. So that is why he gets a picture of a cat. Well, now, that much of this is a bit in question, just why he gets a picture of a cat. Why, when he thinks the thought cat, doesn't he get a picture of a dog catcher? See? Of course, when a fellow is quite mad, he does. He thinks of the word cat and gets his mother. He thinks of the word mother and instantly gets a battleship. He thinks of a battleship and he's served up with a ham sandwich. And we look at him and we say he's mad. It's just his harmonic system of some sort is out of gear. There's really nothing wrong with him. Only he might think there was something wrong with him because he's being presented with the wrong pieces of energy. So therefore he's out of control of energy. Energy controls him and therefore he thinks he's in horrible condition. But just why he gets a picture of a cat is important. That's not quite solved. Just why he often doesn't get a picture of a cat is also not quite solved. But that he gets a picture is today solved. How does he get the picture? What is this mechanism of re-stimulation? How can an individual get a facsimile against his chest of a sore chest and then have a sore chest? Why did he call for this facsimile of a sore chest? Well, he thought something and he made a hole and an energy mass moved in on him and it was just his tough luck that it was an energy mass of a sore chest. You get the idea? So, to make the picture go away, he thinks, depends upon his great power. He believes that he should be omnipotent, and he should be able to think the thought, go away, picture, and the picture will go away, too. But what do you know? He thinks the thought, go away, picture, and it's just another thought, and he's made another hole, and he brings the picture in tighter. So he says, I am defeated by energy. It's a nice game, but we have seen through it. Do we see what the mechanism of re-stimulation is? The thetan is packed in a body, in his head, when he's in his head, or out amongst his machinery. He's packed in with an awful lot of energy. There's quite a bit of energy around him. Most of this energy is of no use to him at all. He just keeps it around like a small boy keeps a couple of old chipped marbles he can't even play marbles with. But he's got this, and it's better than nothing. So he says, well, now, here it is, and I'm at least in communication with something. Now, he thinks a thought. And part of the energy is as is, and he gets some part of it moving in on him. We have the fellow in a body, we have his reactive bank. His reactive bank consists of an awful lot of pictures. It goes out some ways for miles around him. I mean, it's fantastically large, but not necessarily very dense. And it's very thin, you know. And the individual thinks a thought, and by some harmonic process that we do not understand, he gets, by vacuum, which we do understand, a picture. If he gets the right picture, he's lucky. If he gets the wrong picture, he's unlucky. But we aren't interested in that mechanism. We don't care whether it's the right picture or the wrong picture. All we care about is that he gets a picture or an energy mass. How does he get it? By creating a vacuum and by bringing in upon him part of the energy mass in which he is surrounded. And if he thinks enough thoughts in the middle of that mass, he will eventually wind up packed tighter than a sardine. You see, he thinks a hole. You might say the trouble with him is a hole in his head. And he thinks a hole in the middle of an energy mass, and so the energy moves in to fill up the hole. And he thinks another thought in that energy mass, and it moves in to fill up the hole further. Yeah, but he's created a new hole. And therefore, the more furiously he thinks, and the more often he thinks in the middle of the energy mass, the more tightly it will press itself about him until, at length, he believes completely that he's trapped and that he's something like a buckshot. He said, look, I'm about the size of a buckshot, and I'm solid. He thinks this thought, he thinks in various ways. He tries to think a dispersed thought. And if he thinks a dispersed thought, you know, he thinks through all of this energy, he thinks, well, now, that won't as is quite so much. We won't produce that much phenomena, but what do you know? He produces phenomena anyway. And eventually, he will take up football, or he will take up wrestling, or something of the sort, just so he won't ever have to think another thought. You see? Now we've got all mass, and the individual then moves everything around by mass. You know, government. They don't ever think about it. They just put it all in the lorries and move it down to the docks. And somebody says, why are you sending all of these girls down to the docks? You were supposed to send troops. And they move all the mass someplace else, you know? And the mass moves here and the mass moves there. No thought connected with this at all. You can always tell how much thought there is going around, usually by how much mass somebody is trying to handle. If he were really able to think, his mass would have a tendency to disappear. He would be more mobile. Now, with that mechanism, and with those mechanisms I have just raced over there, clearly understood, you will be able to understand very thoroughly level 3 of SLP issue 5. Here we have in level 3 a process which is, you think, a subjective process, but really it is not. It is an objective process. It is a solution to this matter of caving in the bank. It is a solution. Now, it may or may not be the best solution, but it certainly does make the Thetan much more able. He can think any number of thoughts he wishes to think. If an individual cannot think a thought, he cannot, of course, make a decision. If you were to ask an individual, simply, make a decision, and he was sitting there in his head or in the middle of a Thetan bank, you know, with machinery all around, you say, make a decision. He would make a decision. Then you'd say, good, make another decision. He'd make another decision. And you'd say, good, make another decision. And he'd say, fine, he made another decision. And you'd say, make another decision. By this time, he'd feel a little bit of pressure. Now that you were communicating with him and he was communicating with you would keep him from feeling too much pressure. Communication was there, and it itself, with its consequent postulates and mechanisms, as is the energy masses. But nevertheless, you're bringing about this kind of a situation. We're bringing about the situation of re-stimulation. We ask him to make a decision, and he pulls energy in on him. You say, make a decision, he pulls some more energy in on him. If we're talking to him, too, and we've got two-way communication going, we as-is it. But what would be the gain? The reason he can't make a decision is because he really doesn't, on his own, dare think a thought all by himself. The best way in the world to get packed in tight in the middle of a bank is to go out and sit on a mountaintop for 14 days. This would be a wonderful way to get into the bank tight. I am sure that you'd have to exteriorize out of self-defense. You'd think enough thoughts to cave in enough energy to bring about a collapse of the bank. And I am sure that you'd see many phenomena. I'm sure you'd see angels and demons and everything. I'm sure it'd be quite an experience. But it wouldn't be therapeutic. It wouldn't increase anybody's ability. It would probably also make you feel lonesome, and if you weren't able to carry much food, hungry. But here we have, in decisional processing, a process which is run in a quiet place or auditing room with an auditor. But the first time, we know exactly why an individual had better not self-audit. And it's contained right here in level 3. If he doesn't have somebody to talk to, if he can't keep communication going, he cannot as is the material that's flying in on him as fast as he's throwing it into re-stimulation by thinking in the middle of it. And if he's sitting there all by himself thinking in the middle of it, he is going to throw more into re-stimulation than he's going to get rid of. And so he's going to be real unhappy about this. Unless he goes about it in this fashion. Part A, think a placed thought. Now, he should be able to think elsewhere than where he is. Why anybody would think where he is, I don't know. This is one of the duller things. And this is being solved more or less because I found out people were thinking where they are. They do two things that are, Thetans do two things that are real stupid. It certainly produces a lot of randomity. Or rondamity, as people used to call it. We, as a Thetan, would do a very fatal thing if we put a beam out from where we are, you see, out to an object. Or a head, or a person, and zapped somebody from where we are down to a body, you see? Because we would be a connected part of it. And then the beam would all of a sudden energize, and let's say it was a tensor beam, and a tensor beam, when it energizes, compresses. You see, we're pulling in with this beam, you know. We're pulling in with it, and then we energize it, and it snaps in faster. If we dropped a loop as a thetan over somebody's head and had the loop go from where we were to where the person's head was and then energize the loop, we would, of course, snap into the person's head. You see that? That's what would happen. The other thing an individual does is think where he is. And when he thinks where he is, he attracts energy to him. And he'll always be inside the energy which hits him. From a standpoint of not getting trapped, that's not the place to be. If you wish to maintain your mobility, you will have to learn to think a thought outside where you are. And so we have this process, and this process is totally and completely dedicated only to one thing: practice in thinking a thought elsewhere. Until it's our thought, until we can think it ably, until we can do well by it. But as we run the process, we get an additional phenomenon, which is quite interesting. For the first time, the individual is not getting pictures presented to him. The pictures are presenting themselves to the thought. Well, in view of the fact he's not looking from the center of the thought, he's merely thinking the thought over there. He doesn't usually notice the pictures are presenting themselves over there for a change. And energy masses around his head and body have a tendency to fly away from where he is or where his body is and fly on to the place where he just thought the thought. Do you understand that? If you wanted to get rid of some energy, all you would have to do would be to think a thought out there somewhere. And some energy would leave you or your body and go and gather itself around there. Well, in view of the fact that you should have better control of energy, you should therefore, if you wanted to have better control of energy, you would have to have better control of your thinking, wouldn't you? But the best control of your thinking that you could get would be freedom to think, with no energy butting in and saying, jolt, jolt, you know? You've got an old facsimile, and it's your mother whipping you. So you think a thought, I think I will be a bad boy and have a pint. And all of a sudden we get jolt, and we think that's very strange. I've got a feeling across my back. Wonder where that feeling came from, across my back. You see, the feeling is contained in the facsimile, so we are not free to think an independent thought, independent of the energy. In order to think a free thought, you would have to be able to think the thought elsewhere than where everything is presenting itself. Do you understand? All right, so the drill is a very easy one. The object is to train the PC to think thoughts exterior to his head and thetan bank. You understand that while a thetan is exteriorized, he usually has a bank. You know, he has machinery and other things. He packs this stuff along with him. Also, in a lower state, he has what you might call a theta body, which is usually called the... it's about as far as they went with this one. It's the astral self. It's usually a black body, and he backs out of his head in this black body. It's quite amusing. It merely means a lack of terminals, so he's put a terminal where the body is, so that he'll have another terminal. He obviously doesn't have enough terminals. Well, that is not an exteriorization. Exteriorization is the thetan simply being aware of looking from a point, not being aware of himself, and not having a body at all. But he usually has a bank, besides having old rusty tin cans and things like that stashed away. So he could be 5 feet back of his head, and he could think a thought while he's 5 feet back of his head, and snack, snack, a bunch of body facsimiles will hit him. 3 feet back of the head, it proves, when we run this process, is not enough. 3 light years is much better. All right. The command, with the auditor indicating the object or position, is simply this. Think a thought in that, and we could say, think a thought on that chair. Think a thought on that lamp. Think a thought on that chair. Think a thought on the stove. Think a thought in that couch. Think a thought in the chandelier. Think a thought in that book. Think a thought in the window. Think a thought in that person's head that's passing by. See? But the auditor would indicate every time where the individual was to place the thought, and that is step A. Now, he must really be aware of thinking the thought there. He doesn't think the thought in his head and then think the thought there. It's flat when the individual can absolutely, with great certainty, lively think the thought where you told him to. You see, he's one place, and he's thinking the thought someplace else. And he knows it's his thought, and he has no difficulty handling it or controlling it. That's the end of process. You see that? All right, that's the end of A. Now, we go on to B. And, there's an alternate command. Is, do you see that object? Think a thought in or on it. And did the thought appear where it is? Well, that's hardly an alternate command. It's more of an explanatory passage of commands, just to give you the idea of how you're supposed to go about it. Part B is choice rehabilitation. Part A was think a place thought. Part B is choice rehabilitation. Now, we have at the base of it a thetan unable to think. You see, if every time he thinks, he gets, to be colloquial, smacked in the puss by an energy mass. So he knows better than to think.
He just better be massive and push the mass around, you know?
He better take up wrestling, the dickens with his writing stories or philosophic stuff. You get in trouble when you do that. That's what he says to himself. I'm not as bright as I once was. I has all sorts of explanations for it. But that's his basic state. Now, the next state up from that, he would be able to think a clear thought. You know, he'd be able to think a thought, knew that he thought it, and be able to place that thought where he wanted to place it. Now, that would be the next thought line above that. But right above that would be another level he could achieve, and that would be choice. Above the level of choice would be the level of decision. And above the level of decision would be the level of postulate. And above the level of postulate would be the level of no. So we must be on the same scale as the IRC scale, because it winds up with no. So these are evidently levels of understanding. A choice obviously indicates that there are other objects in the world which have an influence upon you. You see, we say, well, I choose. Therefore, there must be a couple of things that have an influence upon you, right? If we said make a decision, well, that means that sort of infers we have a little more control over it, but we are still being monitored to some slight degree by other objects. We have to decide something, but we are deciding from a cause basis there, more or less, on an action to be taken or something to happen. Now, above that level, we simply make a postulate. We say, I think that will happen. Above that level, we don't have to do a thing about it at all. We just know. So you see that choice is pretty much of an effect sort of thing. The individual has his choice. He can be hanged or he can be drowned, you know. He can have his choice. He can go to school or go to jail. He can have his choice. He can eat brown bread without butter, or he can eat black bread without butter. You know, levels of choice. Now, he can either go to the cinema, or he can go to the theater. A choice rather indicates the prior existence of influencing factors. But now decision, that's something else. Decision starts to take in goals a little more thoroughly, and pays less attention to influencing factors. You say, I am making a decision. I am going to go. I am not going to go, you see. An individual, when he makes a choice, really can't do anything else but make the choice. Or he decides he won't make any choice at all. He goes into apathy about it, which is below the level of thinking and thought. All right, we get up into this choice rehabilitation, and we are on the first step up. The next one, of course, is that we run in this, is directed decision rehabilitation, and in D is permissive decision rehabilitation. So we're right now, when we've got him, so we can think a place thought, we have him make choices. Now, the oddity is that this process, level 3, part B, SLP, issue 5, is not as refined as you will see it one of these days, because it just offers too many chances, that's all. There's just too much being offered at this point in the way of processes. Completely aside from choice itself being taken up, there are a tremendous lot of choices on what would be choice rehabilitation. So we have here a rather complicated process, and it runs like this. Using the ability acquired in level 3, A, have the PC make choices between two objects indicated by the auditor. Command. from, and the auditor indicates a point, make a choice between, and he indicates positions or objects. Now, that's quite interesting, isn't it? You've already trained this chap to think an exterior thought. And now you say, all right, from this chair, now you say, do you see those two windows? And the fellow says, yes. And you say, well, from this chair here, choose between them. Now, he doesn't go to the chair. He merely puts a thought on the chair, which chooses between those two windows. We're teaching him to think, not just think a thought. We're teaching him to think or make postulates exterior to himself. And the first way we go at it is to show him the two windows, and we show him the chair, and then we have him think the thought on the chair as to which of the two windows he chooses. I'll give you a tip off at once. Actually, there are four choices. There's window A or window B, or neither, window A nor B, or both. That's the possible number of choices that you'll find pre-clears going into. You see how we do this now? Now we would say, all right, do you see those two chairs? All right, from this vase, make a choice between those two chairs. And he would make the choice in or on the vicinity of the vase, and he would choose which chair there. You see? A little more complicated, isn't it? But he has still acquired the ability to think a place thought before you got into that. Now, why are we doing that? It's so an individual can think or reason or postulate exterior to his own whereabouts. And that's the first level up on making decisions. You understand that an individual making a decision where he is going to pull energy in on himself, and that is going to alter his decisions. Do you see that? So to make a clear decision, or to make a clear choice, he actually would have to be in a place of non-penalization. He'd have to think the thought exterior to himself, make the choice or the decision exterior to himself, in order not to be totally influenced by it. You see this? Now, this is mechanics and so forth, but it's just a way out back through the considerations which got the Thetan into that much trouble in the first place. Now, we're backtracking on certain considerations. How do you undo considerations? You undo considerations by making it possible for the individual to make new considerations. When an individual's packed in tight in energy, and every time he thinks a thought, he gets a heavier pressure of energy around him. Every time he acknowledges or does something of the sort on a communication line, he feels a little more pressure. He says to himself, I can't think, so you ask him to change his mind. In order to change his mind, then, he'll try to change MEST. In order to get him to change his mind, you've got to get him to thinking out there somewhere. And in order to get him thinking out there, you've got to have him able to choose exterior to himself, not just exterior to his body, but while he's exteriorized, he should be able to think elsewhere than where he is. Do you see this? All right. So we get up to the next level, which is much easier, and that is C, directed decision rehabilitation. Using the ability acquired in A and B, exercise the PC on decisions. Command. Putting the decision on or in that indicated object, make a decision about it. In other words, you merely want to make a decision about this chair, but you don't run it this way. You don't say, now make a decision about the chair. That isn't the way you run it. You say, putting the decision on or in that chair, make a decision about it. Get the idea? On or in the chair, make a decision about the chair. Now, putting the decision on or in that stove, make a decision about the stove. Putting the decision on or in that clock, make a decision about the clock. You see that? The actual thinkingness, the aliveness, the repercussion resulting from thinkingness or the demonstration of aliveness, therefore occurs in the clock, the stove, the chair. Energy masses actually cave in on it. The preclear will feel energy masses departing from him, his own bank or body, and leaving and doing all sorts of interesting things. He will get phenomena, but he won't get strange visios. Usually his visio field will clear up. A pressure will sometimes go off of the eyes or off of certain non-communication spots in the body and all kinds of remarkable things occur, which he will tell you about, and you will listen courteously, but you know what he's doing. He's always been thinking, let us say, in his head, or right where he was, and therefore he attracted in upon him all the product of his machinery, the product of the reactive bank, and so forth, and it didn't give him adequate communication at all. It limited his communication. See, but he was already anxious about communication, so he went ahead and let it be limited, because he didn't know this other trick. So we had the individual then thinking the thought in or on and experiencing these various phenomena. Now, making a decision, of course, is rather permissive. The only thing it's directed about is where he's going to make the decision, you see, and about what he's going to make the decision, but what decision he makes is non-directed. Now, therefore, you won't get into an argument with your pre-clear over what a decision is. See, he might make the decision, it can stay right here, see. It might make the decision, it can go round and round. I've decided to sell it, and he doesn't even own it. You see, he's going to make any kind of a decision he cares to make. All right, now you realize that what is basically wrong with most people and why people object to them is they can't make a decision. You realize that, don't you? You realize that this is a terrific aberrative thing in the society. The mechanism why you can't make a decision is because you don't dare think a thought where you are. All right. By the way, an individual interiorized into a ridge of hate thinks a thought or makes a decision, and the decision will therefore be based, the thought or decision will therefore be based and tinged with, based upon and tinged with hate. You see that? In other words, the energy mass colors the decision, so his freedom of choice is interrupted by the mass itself. You see that, don't you? All right. Now we have part D of decisional processing, level 3, and that's permissive decision rehabilitation. And using the abilities acquired in A, B, and C, turn the PC loose on decisions. Decisions must be outside of his head if he's in it, or outside the bank. You're never going to get anybody to exteriorize if he goes on thinking in his head, so this is a very, very interesting process. And if you don't restore his power of choice on making decisions, he won't be able to make postulates such as, I am in the middle of the room. This is exteriorization. Exteriorization is not crawling up a wire. It's just simply saying, I am here and I am here. If an individual is going to say, I am here and be here, why, if he simply says, I am in the center of the room, and he is in the center of the room, he does this by postulate, consideration, and decision. So you must rehabilitate this. So you've got to free up his decisions entirely, and that is done in level 3, and you make the simplest command you can make here, and the command is just decide something. Well, now, we don't suppose he's going to relapse back into thinking in his head, but we're going to ask him every once in a while where he decided it. That would be part of that command, which is not written in the original issue. We've given him all these drills. He now knows where to think. He's going to think exterior to himself, and you're going to ask him to decide something. Now, there are a great many other drills that could come under the heading of this same process. Great many others. Quite interesting. Would be to listen. There's a tremendous number of drills of listening. An individual knows he better not listen, because if he listens, he'll emote. And if he emotes or thinks, why, energy will cave in upon him. So we could have a whole another string of processes of this same nature, which would ask the individual to listen from various points. Now, you might not think this is possible, and you might find it a little bit difficult to do, and so therefore we're not going to stress it, but I will point it out to you that listening from remote points or listening at remote points is more successful than listening where you are. You would say to the pre-clear, listen to something from that chair. Well, he would have a tendency to move over to the chair if he were exteriorized. But if you explain this, what you wanted him to be where he was, but now to listen from some other point. And you'll get the strangest things. As a matter of fact, you can do this easily. Let's think it over. Instead of listening to the symphony or the opera or the radio, where you're sitting with your ears, simply listen to it from the corner of the room, or listen to it from the back of some other chair, or listen to it with somebody else's ears. I mean, you can do that with the greatest of ease. It's very tricky. Well, this is actually the long and the short of level 3 decisional processing, and it is the real reason why individuals snap back into their heads and do all sorts of strange things, why they don't exteriorize in the first place. You say to this individual, be 3 feet back of your head, you see, and the individual will say, all right, now I will be 3 feet back of my head. And instantly he gets enough commotion in the energy bank so that he's aware of being held there. You understand that it's impossible to hold a thetan any place. That is impossible. It's not possible to hold a thetan anywhere. You see that? Well, if it's not possible to hold a thetan anywhere, how does he get convinced that he can be held anywhere? Well, he does it on this mechanism. He gets in the middle of an energy mass, he thinks a thought, and instantly the energy mass caves in upon him and makes a contact with him. Anything he has up there to contact with, you see, will be contacted by the disintegration of the energy mass as a consequence to his thinking something. See? So he gets in the middle of a trap, and he says to himself, how do I get out of this? And he becomes very conscious of the fact that he's in it, because the trap, to some degree, being an energy mass of some sort, disintegrates upon him. The sensation itself informs him he's still there, wondering how to get out of something. Is enough to make convince a fellow somewhat that he is trapped, unless he knows how to do this other trick. Now he starts thinking thoughts outside the trap. He actually could cave in the whole trap or move it elsewhere, break it up into chunks, you see? The greatest of ease, he could do this. He'd just think the thought outside the trap while he himself was in the trap, and he would feel no re-stimulation from the trap at all. The next thing you know, he'd be outside the trap. You see that? Being able to place a thought is the first ability below being able to place oneself. If you can place thoughts and make decisions in other places than where you are at will, you can then, of course, be where you wish to be. You will discover that this is not anywhere near as difficult as it might seem. And the only thing which you want to beware of in running this or any other process is that you do not interrupt the individual's power of choice too much. He does not like to do this. He says this is difficult. Well, that's what he said. He said it was difficult. Well, let's talk to him about it and make it a little easier on him. Let's keep his ARC coming up. If an individual found it was absolutely impossible to do this step, what would you do? You would simply not plow him over, sneer at him, or anything like that. You'd just drop back to the lower step, wouldn't you? Now, the beauty of decisional processing is that it is the only non-restimulative process guaranteed completely and utterly that we know about. So what are you doing listening to a pre-clear in your head? Oh, let me ask you, what are you doing if you are in your head listening to a pre-clear from where you are? In the first place, if the fellow will simply sit there and keep on thinking, he'll as is quite a bit of your bank, because it'll fly up and hit him, won't it? So therefore we get a loss of havingness to some slight degree, if we mind that, in the process of having somebody near us thinking. But what are you doing listening to him from inside your head? A remote listening point is something you need if you want total this and that. Now, as far as a remote talking point is concerned, since any perception could be remotely experienced, you see, so could sexual sensation, by the way, so could eating. Yeah, there isn't any reason to eat a turkey to know how a turkey tastes. Just taste the turkey where the turkey is. You don't have to buy Christmas dinner to have a Christmas dinner. I mean, just eat the Christmas dinner that's there. It'll disappear, too. You could listen to anyone you wanted to from a remote viewpoint. After you had decisional processing run on you, why, you ought to practice a little bit with listening on remote points. And something else turns up one of these days while you're well exteriorized. You will probably learn how to talk at remote points. You realize that while you're exteriorized, making a body talk is simply the trick of making talk occur at a remote point. It has nothing to do with vocal cords. It merely has to do with your consideration that you've got vocal cords and so therefore you can talk. You see that? Well, therefore, there's no real reason why you cannot put up a remote point and have it talk. I myself, at this stage, am doing a little practicing on that, and I've gotten up to a fair degree, but I've got a long way to go. The amount of communication that you can do exterior to yourself is, of course, very, very great. the obsession to get rid of everything in your vicinity will not obtain if nothing in your vicinity is bothering you. Therefore, making an individual think thoughts, make decisions, listen, communicate, exterior to where he is, not just while he's in a head, but as a thetan, will, of course, immediately take away this obsession to make nothing out of everything. You have it now? Good. Thank you very much.